Let us pray. Our Father, help us as we consider this, your word together. Come, bring your understanding of your truth. Open our minds and hearts and souls to all that these words of life offer to us. And may we hear your voice of life as we read, as we hear, as we speak, and draw closest to you. In Christ's name. Amen. On the eve of Easter Sunday, a group of believers had stayed up all night in a vigil of prayer, scriptural reading, and instruction. The most important moment of their lives is fast approaching. For years, they have been preparing for this day. When the rooster crows at dawn, they are led out to a pool of flowing water. They remove their clothes. The women let down their hair and remove their jewelry. They renounce evil and are anointed from head to foot with oil. They are led naked into the water. Then they are asked a question. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? They reply, I believe. And they are plunged down in the water and raised up again. And then they are asked a second question. Do you believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who was born of the Holy Spirit and Mary the Virgin, and was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and was dead and buried, and rose on the third day alive from the dead, and ascended in the heavens and sits at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead? Again, they confess, I believe. And again, they are immersed in the water. Then a third question. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church and the resurrection of the flesh? A third time, you will hear them cry, I believe. And a third time they are immersed. And when they immerse from the water, they are again anointed with oil. They are clothed, blessed, and led into the assembly of all Christians, where they will share for the first time the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Finally, they will be sent out into the world to do good works and to grow in faith and to live for Christ. That is how baptism is described in the early third century document known as the Apostolic Tradition. It points to the ancient origins of the Apostles' Creed. Now today, we are beginning a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. It's going to take some time. I am not in a rush. There will be occasions when we will have to stop it for obvious reasons, for different services and the like. But it will take a considerable amount of this year to go through the Apostles' Creed. It is a statement of faith. For those who are not familiar with the Apostles' Creed, this is what it says. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. Hence, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Churches generally take one or two positions regarding the creed. Either they recite it every week or hardly at all. Most denominations, such as the Anglicans, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Catholics, and yes, of course, the Presbyterians, of which we are a part of, and many others, say the creed every Sunday. We at Blackwell St. Columba, we say it on special occasions, such as the celebration of the sacrament of baptism, and of course, on the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But some people here this morning might say, well, with that in mind, Benjamin, if we don't recite the creed every week, why study it? Why a sermon series on this subject matter? What is the significance and relevance of this creed? There are a number of reasons why we should. First of all, it is the oldest and most widely accepted creed. It is recognized by all branches of Christianity, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox. And for 2,000 years, the Apostles' Creed has served as a concise statement of the core essentials of what the Christian faith really is about. There is not ambiguity about the Apostles' Creed. And if anyone doesn't know what the Christian faith really is about, the Apostles' Creed is a wonderful summary of that. But then second, it offers a broad examination of Christian doctrine. It starts with creation and ends with eternal life. From beginning to end, the Apostles' Creed covers the real root and the real heart of what the Christian faith really is based upon. It summarizes the cardinal doctrines of what we believe, including those affirmations of the confessing church that captures the very essence of the Christian thought and faith. It boldly declares that there is truth at the heart of it. Truth that is foundational to life, my friends. You know, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Nowadays, there is no absolute truth because any truth can mean anything you want. Not if you believe in the Christian faith, it isn't. A truth that cannot be compromised. It is not for debate. By all means, let us discuss it. But if God says something, then it is the end of it. Your opinion will not change his mind. The Apostles' Creed reminds us of that. Thirdly, the creed offers a radical challenge to the skepticism of this generation. The people of the world doubt that we can be certain about anything. I'm not sure serves as the motto of most people. Over against that uncertainty, we have the first two words of the creed, which are, I believe. A creed is one of the ways we correct and even fight false belief, what we call as heresy. And many of the creeds originated as a response to heresy. When the Apostles' Creed was written, there was a group called the Gnostics who denied that Jesus was a real man. They called themselves Christians, but they didn't believe God would defile himself and take on human flesh. And that is why the creed makes it very clear, my friends. He was truly God and truly man, all in one incarnate. Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, scientists, and I don't mean of those who investigate Christian scientists, they call themselves Christians. And yet they will never affirm the Apostles' Creed, to which it basically says that they are no Christians. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, how can you call yourself a Christian? And so the creed helps us identify where they have gone wrong and what you must believe to be a Christian. And we all must understand, my friends, that all spirituality flows from a correct perspective of God. And all heresy at the same time begins when you meddle with the proper understanding of who God claims to be. And there is plenty of that going on right now. I believe in God, but not the God who is just, for example, or the God that allows this or that or whatever. My friends, you cannot choose and pick. Christianity makes sense, but you need to understand the core truths about that faith in order to be able to understand the whole. And so, to be a Christian is to be one who believes in God, in Christ, and the whole of Scripture. But furthermore, to be a Christian is to be one who nurtures the faith. I love that little verse from the book of Jude in the New Testament that says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Now, please note the following two comments about that command. First, note the sacred nature of the Christian faith. The phrase "most holy faith" appears nowhere else in the Bible. This is the only place in which you will read this particular verse. Our faith, my friend, is holy because it comes from a holy God. Yes, you heard me. A holy God. There is no impurity in him. That's why he cannot tolerate sin. Did I say that word? Sin. Because that is the core problem of mankind. But God is holy. And that is what the Bible says, nurture your most holy faith. It is holy because God is holy. Our faith is most holy because our God is most holy. Everything he says is holy. And this means that the Christian faith is not up for grabs. We do not have the right to change it because we find it uncomfortable or unpopular. We are to take our faith seriously because it comes from a holy God who is sovereign and who is truth. But secondly, spiritual growth is not optional. Every Christian is to grow in grace, as the book of Peter says. To grow up, it says, to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ. And then, of course, in Colossians, it says that we are to be rooted and grounded in him and established in the faith. I dare say that a mustard seed has to really be bedded in order to grow to 60 feet high, or whatever I said. What's 30 or 60? 30. Anyway, it's high enough, isn't it? It really is. God expects us to grow in the faith. And that means that when 2019 comes to a close, we ought to be further along in our spiritual journey than we are today. If a child doesn't grow between now and Christmas, you will be concerned, wouldn't you? Would you? How is your spiritual growth going on these days? Are you farther ahead today than you were last year? Or are you just about in the middle? Or maybe backwards? Or maybe just a little bit? You get the point, don't you? Our faith needs to be nurtured. It needs to grow. So, what can I say about the Apostles' Creed or my introductory sermon? Well, there is a need about the Apostles' Creed. And the key phrase of the book of Judges, although written over 3,000 years ago, could have been written last week. This is what the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25 says. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It would be hard to find a more fitting description of modern life. If you ask people in the street what they believe, you will receive a bewildering array of answers because everybody is doing their own thing. Recently, I came across the statement of a young man who was only in his early 20s. His name will remain nameless. But this is the summary of what he said when he was asked what he believed. He says, and I quote, "I don't know what I believe in. And if I believe, I believe there is some higher power, I think. But I don't know. Like right now, I am at a point where I don't know what to believe, but I am open to everything. So I like to believe in everything because I don't know what it is I truly believe in." Are you confused? He definitely is confused because he doesn't know what to believe because he doesn't know exactly what is there to believe it is true. So no wonder everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and that is precisely the challenges of modern life today. And that strikes me as a totally honest statement. He speaks for a whole generation that is ready to believe in everything. But that is not logical. Because if there is truth, then something has to be not true somewhere else. There has to be. Otherwise, it is totally illogical. And the Apostles' Creed is trying to remind us, from a Christian point of view, that is, that if there is truth in God, then the Apostles' Creed is trying to focus our minds and thoughts into what is vital so that we know why we believe, in whom we have believed. The Apostles' Creed stands as an important remedy to the me-centered theology and thinking of the present day. The Creed reminds us that truth is not optional. There are boundaries to the Christian faith. Not everything is negotiable, nor permissible. And some things must be believed if you are to call yourself a Christian. You can't choose to live outside those boundaries, my friends, because if you do, I can hardly say that we are Christians at all. And this leads us to a vital truth point. Christianity is a doctrinal faith. It is not a tech on a box that you can fill whatever context you desire. Christianity is a life based in the doctrines of the Bible, God's word. And we must never say, as long as you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter what else you believe. Oh, yes, it does. Unless the Jesus we believe is the Bible, is the Jesus of the Bible, he's not the real Jesus. And this means that Christianity is more than a conversion experience. It is a living, learning process. It is something that we do day in, day out. Truth is not up for grabs, and it is not decided by what we feel or by the majority vote on the latest opinion poll. The Creed reminds us that truth comes from God, and that is where we must start in our spiritual journey. But secondly, let us consider the story of the Apostles' Creed. The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which is the same as Spanish, by the way, which it means I believe. Originally, the Apostles' Creed was not a formal written document. In the earlier days of the Christian church, it started as a baptismal formula, which is what I introduced the sermon this morning as. The fact is that it goes as far as the second century and then completed in the fourth century. That is how old the Apostles' Creed is. And it starts through the Trinity, creation, incarnation, Holy Spirit, and the rest of that. But all of it, it is rooted in the Word of God, the Bible. But then the other third and the final thing I want us to consider is the importance of the Apostles' Creed. Some of you may ask the question, what does it all this have to do with me? Well, it's a good question. After all, we live in a practical age when people want to know how the truth impacts them personally. But the answer is found in the first two words of the Creed. I believe. That is a very powerful assertion, don't you think? It is not the same as saying, I know, or I think, or I feel. To say, I believe, means that you are making a personal commitment to the truth of who Jesus and God is. In a deep sense, you are what you believe. Where do your actions come from? Think about that. Where do your actions come from? From your feelings. Where do your feelings come from? From your attitudes. Where do your attitudes come from? From your values. And where do your values come from? From your beliefs. You see what I'm saying here? What you believe will determine the kind of person that you are becoming and you will become. Let me illustrate the point, and with this I finish. Suppose I go to the doctor and he says, Benjamin, I'm sorry, but you have got a serious illness that is life-threatening. I have medication that can cure the disease, but it is very difficult to take, and it's likely to make you very sick. If you are willing to take it, you can be cured. In that case, to say I believe in my doctor means something very specific. It doesn't mean I believe he really is a doctor, or I believe he is right when he says I have a serious illness, or even I believe the medication can cure me. You don't truly believe in your doctor until you follow his advice and let that life-saving medication enter your veins. Until then, it will only be talk. To believe in your doctor means to trust yourself completely to his care, to accept its diagnosis, and to put your life in his hands. That is true faith. And likewise, believing in Jesus means to trust him completely with everything you are and everything you wish to be. And so let me just highlight one final thing. The Apostles' Creed begin with the word, I believe. Not we believe. Why the difference? The answer is simple. True belief is always personal. I can believe for you. You know that? I can't. And you can't believe for me. No wife can believe for her husband. And no husband can believe for his wife. And parents can believe for their children. Each and every one of us has to be able to say and confess with certainty, I believe. And so you and I must make our own minds. You can believe, you can live on the faith of those around you. The church is more than a gathering of people or a collection of Christians. At its heart, the church is a community of believers who are joined together by their common faith in who Christ Jesus is, in all that God stands and says in his word. May God help us not only today, but in the coming days and weeks and months as we live for him and consider these wonderful of creeds, the Apostles' Creed. And to God be the praise and the glory, for this his word. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not very sure whether it's on the slide, is it? Is it not? No. I was just going to say whether we could say the Apostles' Creed, but if it is not there, that it's okay. It is? Right. I thought it was. Would you all stand? And we'll say together the Apostles' Creed this morning. Okay? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.